that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. And as we look to this passage this morning, I just ask you to meet with us. I ask you for the words to say. I ask you, Lord, for your Spirit's help, not only for me, but for those who will be listening this morning. I just ask you, Lord, to allow your words to go where they need to go and do what they need to do. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning will be somewhat different as we draw from a few themes this morning rather than just breaking down a particular thing as I normally would. But notice a few things right off the bat in this passage. First off, we look at the route of Christ. One commentator says, the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He went from Galilee and probably traveled through the chief villages and towns in it and then left it. And as Samaria was situated between Galilee and Jerusalem, it was necessary to pass through it. So notice that Jesus did not take the back way to avoid people, to avoid traffic. He went where it was busy. He passed through the busy part of town, the chief villages and towns along the way. And I encourage you this morning to be reminded that your witnessing opportunities will be where the people are, where the souls are. So where should the gospel be preached? Quite simply, where the souls are. And I'm glad that while Jesus was on his way somewhere, on his way to do something, that he not only did not go through the outskirts, but he went the way where he knew people would be. And not only that, but that he took the time to stop. You see, not only do we at times avoid souls, no, I can be introverted. I've been honest about this. I can be introverted. I know how to step away. I like the woods where there's just animals, no people. Sometimes, I get it. I understand that stuff. I get it. But I tell you, where your best impact's going to be is going to be around people. To get around people. Now, You'll see in the scriptures where Christ went away to pray, where the disciples went away. They went off. They set aside. They went away from people to get refilled, to get recharged. But you can't stay there. You got to come back out from getting recharged and go get back out where the people are and get to witnessing and get to teaching and get to preaching and get to being around where the souls are. But at times we get too busy also going from A to Z that we miss all the people in between that are in need of healing, that are in need of encouragement. But Jesus went where people needed him. And I want to remind us this morning that the God of all the universe that holds the whole earth in his hands. He has the salvation of all the unreached on his heart and mind, that has Bible publishing in the language of all who don't have a copy of it on his heart and mind, that has sending out of missionaries on his heart and mind, that has pastors without churches on his heart and mind, churches without pastors, that has the calling and equipping of spiritual leaders on his heart and mind, young men and women in Bible college on his heart and mind, as well as the sanctification of all believers on his heart and mind. And we could go on and on, but out of all that and much more, he still takes time for you and he still takes time for me when we call out for mercy. I'm thankful that he's very busy, but not too busy for me. Now also think about the situation of the lepers. They had leprosy, which is defined as essentially a foul disease appearing in dry, white, thin, scurfy scabs, attended with violent itching. It sometimes covers the whole body, rarely the face. So the term violent itching, you know, that, which is usually followed by violent scratching. If you've got a violent itch, it's going to be followed by violent scratching. How many of you would be comfortable near someone who was violently scratching? I don't know about you. I'm not trying to be unkind, but when I see someone who is violently scratching all over, I start wondering what they got. Because I know they got something. Something bit them, or they got something. And some of the things that would bite you all over, and I'm not even going to name it all here, but some of the things that would bite you all over are things that we don't want. We don't want those things. We don't want to bring it home with us. We don't want it in our car. There's been, it's a bad thing, but I've heard of it happen, where a church they had to shut down for a week or two to come in and get things fumigated because somebody brought something in, and it's like, you don't share that. You don't do that. So unfortunately, they had to shut down for like a week, and not have services because the things had to be taken care of. Now, look at their position due to their leprosy in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Notice this last phrase here, which stood afar off. Now, again, that's for a reason. We just laid the foundation for that. That's for a reason. In society, they were nobody. In society, they were worthless. In society, they were treated as a plague. They had to be away from everyone. If they had children, they could not come in contact with their healthy children. If they were married, they could not come into contact with their healthy spouse. If they had parents living, they could not be in contact with their healthy parents, and so on. They had to be away from everyone. So being a leper was a lonely life. It was a poor existence. They essentially didn't have a friend on this earth. They were day in and day out an outcast, an offscoring of all the earth. They were treated as though they had the plague. Notice also their distance away. One commentator says, of course, they had to stand afar off, and the distance prescribed by law obliged them to cry aloud. Though it must have been an effort, for one symptom of leprosy is a hoarse whisper. So these lepers, the disease of leprosy, had them far away from where Jesus was, where the crowd was. Their leprosy caused a hoarseness in their voice. They did not have much strength of voice. It took a great effort for them to cry aloud as they did. And spiritually speaking, I encourage you to take a trip back down memory lane. Think about your form of leprosy, your sin. Your sin had you alienated and away from God. Your sin and the bondage of it had you in a weak position, a position of little strength. Think back to how far you were from God when heaven reached down and glory filled your soul. Aren't you glad that when your trial is great, the pain's at its worst, you've fought and fought and fought and you feel like you can't fight anymore, you can only muster up the strength to let out a faint whisper that the God of heaven still hears you. Jesus drew crowds wherever he went. He had a following. I want you to know if the lepers were to stay away from others, others were to stay away from them. Yet over the hustle and bustle and the noise of this crowd, Jesus still heard the faint cry of these 10 lepers. I believe just as he passed through the crowd, the New Testament knew the lady had touched his garments, and the disciples were baffled. Perhaps Jesus was the only one to hear this cry. Aren't you glad that Jesus found you? Aren't you glad that he heard your cry, perhaps when nobody else would or care? Do you remember today when you were lost and undone without God and his son, and you cried out from the muck and mire of this world with all the energy that you had, and the Son of God heard you as he passed your way? We got some stuff to praise him for, to be thankful for, to fall at his feet for. I think of my position. I remember where I was crying myself to sleep. My dad had left. It was a rough year following his leaving that a man at church, I don't even remember what his name was, but he just told me that God would be my father. And it broke through. And on a Sunday night after church, my mother led me to Christ. I remember where I was. I remember I was broken. I was in a place when where I felt like few cared, where few understand. I didn't feel like I had a voice. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know who to go to, where to go. And the Savior of all mankind passed my way on Highway 165 in Woodworth, Louisiana. And he heard my cry. I don't know all your testimonies in here, but I encourage you to go back to when Jesus passed by and realize he could have went anywhere. He could have taken the path where you weren't going to be. He could have went to someone else, but he visited your neck of the woods. He visited your workplace, your home, your church. Think of your position, much like these lepers, spiritually being alienated from God, but he heard you as faint as it was. As you were twisted up in the world and what it had to offer, you had no energy. The world had it all, but he heard your cry. Look what these lepers had to say. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In verse 14, we see the response of Jesus. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, when I see that part of when he saw them, you know, you see that phrase sometimes in Scripture when Jesus saw something, and then it would be followed by he had compassion on them. Now, we don't see that here. We don't see that in this particular instance. But I cannot help but think that when Jesus saw these 10 lepers, he had compassion on them based off of his response. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So the lepers cried out to Jesus, but verse 14 says, and when he saw them, so again, this is what he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Now, this also takes faith. The biggest part of this story right here is the faith of these 10 lepers. They asked for mercy. Christ didn't make them jump through hoops, perform any works. He just simply asked for faith. Now, their faith is what produced the work in them to get up and go. It was their faith. It wasn't the work of getting up and going. It was their faith that compelled them to get up and go. So we don't see works here. We see faith that produced works. They don't say faith, but you see, in this time in Scripture, you had to be diagnosed by a priest and cleansed by a priest. It would be like this. One of you has an ailment. Christ tells you to go to the doctor and you'll be made whole. But imagine for a moment it was a disease that was visible to the outside. You can see it. In most cases, you can't see cancer. But imagine their faith. They can see their leprosy. They know they have it. What if after Jesus said it, they looked down and said, I still have it, and began to doubt? So they stayed in place. What if when they got up and looked down, they saw it still and then began to doubt and sat back down? What if they got up and began to walk and looked down and still had it? They'd already began to walk, but still had it. And then went back and sat down. There'd have been no healing. But we don't see them asking questions like we do. When will I be healed along the way? At what point will I be healed? On my first step? On my fifth step? Tenth step? Right before I get to the chief priest? When? Answer these questions. Then I'll go. Then I'll do. No, we don't read that at all. Jesus said, move. And they moved. These lepers had to have faith. I firmly believe that if any one of these lepers looked down at their leprosy and said it isn't going anywhere, before they went as Jesus commanded, they would have still had their leprosy. But Christ said, go and show the priest. And it was by their faith that they were healed. Jesus was in essence telling them, I know you have leprosy now, but by the time you get to the chief priest, those who can declare you cleansed from your leprosy, you'll be healed. What did these lepers do? They got up and they went. It was by faith that God would do as he said he would do, if they just acted in faith. So 10 cried out, 10 acted in faith, and 10 were healed. Then in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. If you remember, they lifted up their voices was the description in verse 13. But in verse 15, this used to be leper with a loud voice. A loud voice. See, before he was trying to lift up. Now he's up. He's up. With a loud voice, glorified God. And I have a question here for us all. Shouldn't our cry to God be louder in our praise than our cry to God in our suffering? You've been healed. You were broken before heaven came down and glory filled your soul. You were lost and undone without God and His Son. You didn't have a voice until God gave you one when He healed you. It serves as a good point also. The best thing we can use our mouth for would be praise. The first thing this used-to-be leper did with his newfound voice was to praise the one that healed him. One theologian says, a sense of our spiritual leprosy should make us very humble whenever we draw near to Christ. It is enough to refer ourselves to the compassions of Christ, for they fail not. We may look for God to meet us with mercy when we are found in the way of obedience. Only one of those who were healed returned to give thanks. It becomes us, like him, to be very humble in thanksgiving as well as in prayers. Christ noticed the one who thus distinguished himself. He was a Samaritan. So think of this morning, our last thought. Nine were healed and only one came back. So my challenge to you this morning is to be the one that did. Be the one that turns back. Be the one that falls on their face before God and praises Him for passing your way when no one else could or would. Praise Him for hearing you when no one else could or would. Be the one that did. We need to be thankful for our Lord and Savior, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. It was Spurgeon who said many years ago, thanks living. You just want to, and I'm not about renaming Thanksgiving to thanks living and things like that. But there's a group out there, not to be offensive if that's anybody here today, but I think Thanksgiving can be left alone with that phrase, that holiday, Thanksgiving. But we do need to be reminded to be thankful every day and be thankful that we should be living a life of thanks. I think it's good to have calendared holidays to have a special emphasis, because if we didn't, we would go long periods of time without even thinking about stuff. It's good to have Veterans Day, good to have Memorial Day, good to have a time that we recognize as Easter for Christ's resurrection. Good to have those things, those calendared holidays and Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's good to have those because we tend to be forgetful. Just like it's good to observe the Lord's Supper, or else we become forgetful of what Christ did. So it's good to have calendared times that you are observing the Lord's Supper. That's just one thing, and for one of the church's ordinances, good to observe, lest we become forgetful. Too little, we forget. Too much, it just becomes mundane, run-of-the-mill. It's just something that we do. So it's finding a balance on that. But I'm all for days like Thanksgiving, all for Thanksgiving, to be reminded. But we also got to be reminded that every day we should live our lives the best that we can to be thankful for what God has done for us. And not to just be thankful for the things that He's done for us in this life, per se, but to be thankful for all things. Now, that's hard to do, and sometimes that takes hindsight to be thankful for things. A lot of things that happened in my life, I weren't thankful for in the moment that I was going through them. And sometimes, even now, the event itself, I can't necessarily still say I'm thankful for the event itself, but I can pull from some things that came from the event that I can be thankful for. So it's the silver lining in the event. And there's still some things I'd rather not think about, rather not talk about, and stuff like that. I buried that as deep as I could, and threw away the shovel, and didn't tell nobody else where I buried it at. And because I don't want them digging it up either. But, there's things from it that you can be thankful for. There's always a silver lining, so to speak. But praise God this morning for saving you. Praise Him for passing your way, for saving your soul and making you whole, for healing you when you were broken, but not just at salvation, but when we find ourselves broken throughout the Christian life. Praise him for all the times he's put you back together. Maybe confess for doubting him at times and his ability to put you back together from a broken state. Now we think about, lastly, we see in verse 19, we'll look at verse 18 real quick. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. One commentator says, and I don't know exactly, I'm not going to be dogmatic on it, but he says the one that came back got saved just based off of the phrase in verse 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. Whole means complete. He says 9 got healed, or 10 got healed, but 1 got saved. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I'd say that one that came back, even though, yes, he was also healed of his leprosy, he got the best end of the stick compared to the other 9. But I encourage you this morning, be the one that did.